That's good. That's good. I'm much more comfortable working in the kitchen or doing washing dishes doing than I am speaking, but I'm gonna do the best I can. But after studying for tonight's lesson, I actually have a little bit of a different opinion or attitude toward this. So let's see if I can share it. First of all, let's open with a word of prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day, just such a beautiful day that you've given us today and blessed us with. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to come here tonight and worship in spirit and truth and worship your Son and thank him for what he did for us with his finished work on the cross. Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross tonight and that what is said and done would be honor and glory to your name and that there would be no error. Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would be turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's been about 6 months since I last spoke. The last I was scheduled to speak, I think it was the 1st of February, and lo and behold, I had COVID and figured y'all probably did not want me to come and speak that night. So it has been a while. But the last time I spoke, we were in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and before I get into the scripture so much, I got to thinking about who Peter was, about the author of this. And we all know, we hear about Peter and the things that he's done, and but you think about, he's writing this letter to the Jews that have been spread out because of persecution, but he's also writing it to us, isn't he? I mean, we're reading this word. It's God's word, and I got to thinking about, can you imagine what it must have been like for Peter to have walked side by side, day after day, with the Lord Jesus, and experienced the things that he experienced? And it's because of his life, but what he experienced, I think that he's able, through the Spirit, to write the words that we get to read in his word. Okay, turning to 1 Peter, we're going to do a little bit of a recap. Last time I spoke, we finished through verse 20 or 21. Peter, again, he's writing to the Jews that's been dispersed. And in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Then last time I spoke, we began in verse 13, where he's telling us to prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Skipping down to verse 18, he says that knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So who are we writing? Who is he writing to? He's writing to fellow believers. He's not writing to the pagans. He's writing to believers, people that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. All right, picking up in verse 22, we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 10. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Going back to beginning in verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Here Peter tells his fellow believers that now that they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, they should love each other with pure brotherly love, fervent or earnest love, going the extra mile to show kindness to one another. Like I was saying a minute ago, imagine what Peter saw when he lived. Can you imagine, after reading this verse, I can only imagine Peter remembering the upper room, how Jesus washed his feet and the other disciples. And what did Peter say? You are not washing my feet. Remember? And what did Jesus say? If I don't wash your feet, then you're not one of me, one of mine. Yes, Peter remembers the upper room. And Jesus told him that he should do the same for each other, that they should do the same for each other, that they should love one another in such a way. He gave them that example, that we are to put others ahead of ourselves. How are we doing there? I don't know about you, but my feet just got stepped on, you know, right off the bat. But that's the example. That is what he told us to do, that we are to love fervently or earnestly and showing kindness to one another. Also, Peter remembers that Jesus gave a new covenant, didn't he, on that night? John 13:34-35. He said, A new covenant I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Jesus' commandment was not a suggestion, was it? It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment that we are to love one another. In verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. Our salvation isn't temporary, is it? Here Peter reminds us that our new life in Jesus Christ is not temporary, but eternal. He told us we need to love one another. We're going to be spending eternity with Christ and with each other as fellow believers. That is how, knowing that is how, through the Spirit, that we can love one another. We are a family. You know, and Jesus, when they came and said his mother and his brother were outside waiting for him, he looked out and said, here's my mother and here's my brothers. When he was talking about his fellow believers. The love of God the Father for his only Son is the source of the love that binds the fellowship of believers together as a family. By giving us his Son, the Father introduced us to the perfect love and eternal life that the Father and the Son had always enjoyed together. The living and enduring Word of God. John 1, 14. John 1:14 says, very familiar, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We love because he first loved us. So how are we doing? How are we doing so far? Are we loving one another like we're supposed to? I feel very fortunate to be here because I can honestly say I've been in a few other churches that the love for one another was not as it is here. So we are blessed. But we need to maintain that the love that we share is not because of our own strength, but it's through the Holy Spirit living within us. We love because he first loved us. Question I wrote down is this: when the world looks at us, can they tell a difference between us and the rest of the world? I ask myself that right often. What is my testimony when I'm not here, when I'm out in the world, when I'm out at the, you know, in the hustle and bustle life? And my wife will attest, how are we when we are behind the wheel? Driving down the road when somebody cuts us off. How is our testimony there? Someone said recently that, you know, as Christians, and people know that we proclaim to be Christians, we're being watched. People are watching us to see how we're doing, you know. So just keep that in mind. I'm telling, you know, if I'm pointing at you, my thumb, I'm pointing back at me, because I sometimes I struggle in that. But we can't do this on our own, can we? We can't do it in our own strength. The only way we can do it is through the Holy Spirit living inside of us, encouraging us to love our Christian brothers and sisters the way Jesus taught us to. Now, I'm not going off on a rabbit trail, but I've got to share something that today was a special day. And today, Felicia and Jeannie and myself and a bunch of her family gathered together to have the funeral for her Aunt Mary Lou. And her Aunt Mary Lou was her mom's sister, older sister. And I only met her one time, and that was at a reunion a couple of years ago. I actually talked to her on the phone, I guess a couple of months ago. I don't know if Felicia called her, she called or what, but she said to put John on the phone, so she put me on the phone. She said, "Well, do you feel like you're a part of this crazy family yet?" I said, "Yeah, I think after 4 years, I'm a part of the Jones. I'm a part of the family." So, but today at her funeral, I learned a lot about her. I learned a lot. Her two of her grandchildren got up and spoke, and and the preacher that was spoke. He told some stories too, but her grandchildren got up and spoke of their grandmother, who prayed for them, got down on her knees every night and prayed. When her children were growing up, they knew that she was on her knees praying, and if they came into the room where she was, into her bedroom, she wouldn't have to look. She could tell which one it was just by the sound of their feet. But they knew that she was praying. Her grandchildren knew that she prayed for them, and she always wanted to know how they were doing. Her daughter called her. I forget which one of the daughters it was, but one of her daughters called her and said, "Mom, I need some advice. I need some help." Well, her daughter was on up in age a little bit, and Aunt Mary Lou's response was, "I've been dressing you from the time you were born until now. It's time for you to dress yourself. You need to put on the full armor of God." Now, how is that for a response? You're grown now. You need to be putting on the armor of God. The grandchildren got up and talked about their grandmother and how she loved them and how she prayed for them. And the point that I'm getting to, and the preacher made it, is what a legacy when your grandchildren get up at your funeral and talk about how you were on your knees praying, reading God's word, praying for them, and how much she loved each one of them by showing it. She didn't just talk the talk, she walked the walk. And the last thing her daughter said, one of her daughters, she said, right before, after she had had a stroke and near her death, she called her and said, "Mom, how are you doing?" And her reply was, "How are you doing?" She never said anything about herself. To the very end, she wanted to know how they were doing and the love that she had. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is I've just read scripture about how we are to love one another. Well, today I witnessed the life of one who did that. who embodied that. And she gave all the credit to her Lord and Savior. There is one other thing that was told. She went to a ladies, I guess it was a ladies' Bible study. And when she got there and they started and got into it, she got up and said, "Look, y'all, we talk about spiritual food, the pure milk of the Word. Well, some of them were still in their infants. They hadn't, they were old enough." And she said, "Y'all need to be digging deeper into the Word of God." And instead of quitting and walking away, she basically spearheaded that group. And later, some of the people came up and said, "I am where I am in my spiritual walk with the Lord because of Aunt Mary Lou." So I just pray that each one of us would have the desire to be remembered that way, and that we should be more diligent in our walk with the Lord and in our study. And as Felicia said, one of the most important things we got out of the message today at her funeral was, we have 7 grandchildren, and we need to be setting that example, and we need to be praying for them. Okay. Back to the scripture, verse 24 and 25. "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." Our life here on this earth is very temporary. I've heard this scripture says we're like a vapor. Yesterday, I was 6 years old, being rocked on my mama's knee. I remember that. I remember her singing. I love to tell the story. It was one of her favorite songs, and she would sing. Well, I'm fixing to turn 65, but yesterday I was 6. So this is temporary. Jeremiah, Jed, blink your eye, you're going to be up here and you're going to be in my shoes. So, life can be, it goes by very quickly. But it is temporary, but we're not always going to be, I guess one of the things, what I'm getting here is while we're young and everything is great, but blink your eye 1 minute and it's not so much. It could be an accident, it can be a cancer, it can be anything, and we're gone. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But what Peter is saying here is that unless you have the Lord, unless you are born again, then the flower is going to fall off. And we're not going to take our wealth. There's no, the rich rulers of the day, they were temporary. But what is not temporary? Verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." And I made note, he's going back to the prophet Isaiah, what he wrote in Isaiah 46 through 8. We just talked about the love for one another. Then we go into chapter 2, and what do we read? Verse 1. "Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander." You talk about doing 180 degrees. We are to love one another, but if we are practicing malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, we're not showing the love of Christ, and that can destroy. I've seen it. And all of you probably have too, the older ones anyway, churches that have been torn apart because of this. It's one of Satan's favorite tools. He knows our weaknesses, that when we, you know, when we're living the lives that we're supposed to be living, are we talking? Are we lying? Are we saying one thing and living another? Even in my own family, one of my family members stopped going to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Hate to say that, but it's the truth that he stopped coming to church. And so we have to be careful as we in our Christian walk, what we say, how we live, what we do. But instead of that, we are to, as I said, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. Aunt Mary Lou was explaining to the ladies, you got to grow. You can't stay where you are. You've got to grow. And this is what the Lord is saying here, that we must grow. If you have tasted that the Lord, the kindness of the Lord. But like I gave you the example, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever been told that the church was filled with hypocrites? Anybody else? I hope not, but I probably have. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Here Peter is continuing the imagery of the new birth. Believers should have the same hunger for spiritual food as a baby has for its mother's milk. And I've heard Dr. Jeff made this point. The more we read God's word and spend time with him in prayer, the more we grow. When we read the word of God, the more we read, the more we want to. But if we put it aside and don't read it, it gets easier and easier not to do it. So we have to be disciplined, and every day we have got to set aside time to read God's word and spend time with him in prayer. And that's what Peter is saying. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, we are to long for the pure milk of the word. And pure milk, not sour milk. What am I saying? There's religions, there's even churches out there that aren't preaching the word of God, the true word of God. So the pure milk of the word. We have to be careful. In verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Coming to him. What does coming to him mean? It means that we have repented of our sins and we've put our faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. And now we draw near to him through his word. And again, I'm thinking about Peter. He's sitting here as he's writing this. He's looking back and he's remembering that day many years ago. And it's in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Very familiar. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of highly priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or what name have you done this? And what has happened is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter healed the man that had been lame since birth. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, If we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Yes, when Peter is writing this, I can imagine that he remembers. How could he forget that occurrence? And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. God's love for his son, his only begotten son, how choice and how precious he is. And then verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones. Jesus is the source and giver of life, John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, as living stones, we are to be building up, built up as a spiritual house. So, what does it mean for us to be built up? Anybody? We are to continue to grow. We've been given one command, one order, and that is to go out and spread through all the world, to teach everyone and spread the word throughout the world. And that is what we are to do, to build us up. We think about the ones who came before us and the leaders, but the most important thing is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. And then we read in Philippians chapter 2. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 5 through 11. Very familiar. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I've got more, but my time's running out, so we're going to close. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight again with thankful hearts. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he emptied himself, that he went to that cross, that he died in our stead, in our place, that he shed his precious blood for our sins. Father, again, we just thank you and love you for him. We pray that you would be honored and glorified through the reading of your word tonight, and that you would just bless each one here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.